Hello, everybody, and welcome to our weekly edition of RealCom Live as we work our way into the 4th of July weekend. We've got a great show today. Some people may say a little dry, but nonetheless, so important. In the area of smart, connected, high-performance, intelligent buildings, you will never achieve any of your goals, either technical or business, without a very, very robust, important conversation on data standards. Imagine an automobile industry with square wheels, round wheels, triangle wheels. Imagine a construction industry without a 2x4. Well, as we get to the point where we want to make more and more sophisticated buildings with data traveling in between lighting systems and access control, HVAC, the importance of data standards, the ability for this data to operate with each other is critical. And we've got two great individuals here today who've been fighting for this data standards conversation initiative for over 10 plus years. But before we bring them on, let's show a brief video of Project Haystack, and then I'm gonna bring on our two guests.
Data is the cornerstone of the Internet of Things. Unlocking the value of data is essential to drive business outcomes, operational efficiency, and financial performance in virtually all businesses. This is especially true in the built environment. Project Haystack is leading the way in making device and equipment data truly interoperable. By providing a standardized open source methodology for semantic modeling to describe the meaning of data produced by smart devices. Project Haystack streamlines the interchange of device data between software applications and equipment systems. Implementing Haystack data modeling ensures that data can be defined and categorized in a standard way and understood by both humans and software applications. Project Haystack's flexible, extensible design enables it to address virtually any application. And Haystack's web services ensure that the data is available across applications in a consistent manner. Founded in 2011, Project Haystack is used across millions of square feet in thousands of facilities, helping industry turn operational data into actionable information. Haystack, the leading solution to making devices and equipment truly interoperable. Project Haystack, smart data, smart devices, smart buildings, smart business.
All right, and with that, I would like to bring on two great individuals, John Petsy and Mark Petok, the Executive Director and the Executive Secretary of Project Haystack. Guys, so good to see you. How are you?
Doing good. Well, doing well. Thanks for having us. We appreciate it.
Happy 4th of July weekend almost.
Yeah.
Time to take a little bit of time and breathe. I apologize for, calling the topic boring in the opening, but I wanted to make a point. It is so easy to get on a stage or to send out an email or video or a piece of marketing material, on the big ideas, the flying cars, the living, breathing buildings. But at the end of the day, none of these grand visions, none of this automation, none of this smartness, this sustainableness, if you will, none of it happens without data standards. Am I correct?
That's 100%. Absolutely true. And I don't mind you saying it's a little bit dry. It's actually one of the challenges is it's hidden under the surface of the things we do. If you can get data on your phone or whatever, somebody else has solved this problem. The unique part of what we have in buildings is there are so many different systems that come from so many different manufacturers and convey data in different ways that even if we can get it, it's not easily interoperable. And it's hidden until you encounter the problem of how am I going to bring this to get this data together. So we really appreciate the opportunity to talk about it because industry awareness, owner awareness is really key to helping solve this challenge.
Well, the date was probably 2001, Dallas, Texas, one of our biggest events ever. It was right towards the end of .com/bomb. And we were having a data standards discussion in one of the rooms. Every room was packed, one of our biggest crowds ever. And I was leading a data standards conversation with a guy by the name of Mike Young. This is more on the enterprise side, not on the building side. And I think we had five people in the room.
Yeah, part of the problem.
And then we had to take seven data standards groups and we had to convince each other that you couldn't have seven data standards and you needed to have one. So they all came together and ultimately formed OSCAR. the open standards for commercial real estate, which is, again, more on the enterprise side, which, by the way, is now easing its way into the built environment. So you two have to talk, Haystack and Oscar, talk. But let's start at the beginning. You guys are just absolutely the unsung heroes, in my opinion, of the modern data standards history for smart buildings. So why don't you start with a little bit of who, what, when, where, why? You know, when was Haystack founded? Why was it founded? Give us some of the fundamentals before we get into the conversation of where you are today.
Let me start with the what it is. And then Mark, you can talk a little bit about the when and the history. You
know, sure.
What it is agreeing on a standard way that we're going to mark up data so that we understand what it means, right? And I like an analogy that I didn't invent, but somebody else did. Your name is Jim Young. What does that tell me about you, right? I don't know where you live. I don't know your age. I don't know what type of car you drive. All those are attributes or additional information about you, right? The type of thing you put on LinkedIn, right? That people go to find out about you. Your name doesn't tell people about you. It's those other attributes.
Correct.
They're facts about you. Well, we need facts about data. When we read a value out of a system, what is it? It has a name. Great. What is it? Is it chill water supply, temperature, room temperature, pressures, whatever? And so what Haystack was about was we need a standard agreed way that we're going to mark up our data. We call it tagging, so that the facts are clearly expressed in a standard format. So if you connect to the data, not only do you get the data, you get the facts that describe it, so that a human being, actually, that was an important part of the standard, could understand, oh, that's what this is about. But more importantly, software applications could. And we started it because, believe it or not, when we encountered this problem back in 2009, 10, 11, there wasn't a standard. So we, so Mark, the
Mark, let's go to when. I think I heard the date, but when, and then who were the initial folks that got together in the room? Were they end users? Were they integrators? Were they manufacturers? So the two questions are when and who.
And it was back in 2011, and let's kind of transform ourselves back to that time. And the fact is we were integrating different systems and equipment. We were connecting. We were doing all that stuff to enable a building to be smart, if you will. But then that was only half the battle. The other half was we woke up and said, ah, there's data in these pieces of equipment, in these systems. Ah, they must have value, but how do you enable that value? So you need some type of standard, and that's how this whole thinking came about.
And so who were the first people in the room?
So Brian Frank, John, myself, lots of different folks. So it was a combination of some technology providers, some innovators, if you will, like a Brian Frank and some OEMs, and just realized, hey, there is value in data, and all these pieces of equipment and systems have data. In fact, you know, the fact that we're celebrating 10 years now, we've come a heck of a long way. And we like to say now that the data is more valuable than the device itself. So, and I think, again, the device is an enabler. And it's
is Haystack United States based? Is it North America? Is it global? Give us a little idea on the breadth.
Sure, let me jump in on that. So this is a global effort. And in fact, among the first group of people doing it, we had people from the Oceania region. We talked with people at the government energy labs, et cetera, who all were encountering this problem. I think that's the thing. Yeah, I'm trying to come up with a solution. I'm trying to do this. I'm trying to do analysis. And yeah, I have to spend all this time figuring out what is this piece of data? Is it related to this? Everybody's been doing this forever, but they were doing it manually. And they were doing it over and over again manually. And we talked about this challenge and we looked at what was happening on the web. You know, there's a term called the semantic web, right? And that's to take the definition of information on the web to the next level. But the web already had one key standard that had enabled its explosion, right? And that's HTML, right?
Right.
Jim, I can go to your website and I can read everything you've published. And I didn't have to get my engineer to work with your engineer before we could do it. Why?
Correct.
there's a standard for the way you're going to publish text and pictures on websites. Where would we be without that? Or where would we?
Yeah.
We wouldn't be
That was my point earlier. Yeah, I mean, without a 2x4, if it was a 2x5 or a 2x7,
right.
You know, or a 4x3 sheet of plywood, we would not be anywhere.
You couldn't do that. And that's really, you know, it kind of provides a perspective on the problem. It's not that you couldn't integrate data. It's the huge amount of work that went into it. And it's non-value producing work, right? It's the messy stuff you have to do to get to it. It's the prep before you can paint. Right.
Well, and let's talk about that a little bit, because, you know, we've been around long enough now that we understand what is real. We understand what is possible. And we also understand what is hype. Right. Talk about the hard work that it took to get here 10 years. And let me ask you a specific question. If you were at, you know, 10% capacity influence, you know, market penetration in 2010. Where are you today? Okay, on a scale of 1 to 10, 1, you know, is at the very beginning, 10 is perfection. What number are you at as far as industry adoption and acceptance of the Haystack standard?
Well, let's go back to 2011. That was a zero, right?
Right.
You know, talking to people about this and getting people to understand. You know, over 10 years, we're on the third generation of the technology. Important point about where we are in the adoption is this has been run as a true open source initiative. And there's a difference between making an end piece of software open source after you've developed it and developing through the open source effort where you have hundreds of thousands of people join in and critique and complain and identify challenges and you'll all try to work together to solve them. And that's what we've been doing for 10 years. You know, to put a percentage on adoption, you know, it's a really hard thing to do. We know there's well in the range of 30 to 40,000 buildings that use it, but the percentage of adoption is so hard to put out there. You know, how do you describe
that? The people don't adopt because they're resisting. They don't adopt because they don't know, correct?
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Correct. And if you look at the adoption, it runs the gamut of people who are within the built environment, from integrators, from the end user, the building owner, operator, facility manager, from OEMs, from consultants, from MEPs, so forth and so on. And, you know, if you look at, to John's point, you know, 30 to 40,000 buildings, it's anything from airports, schools, commercial offices, grow houses, hospitals, the GSA, and so forth and so on. So it is truly across the board, but yet obviously like anything else with a standard, it takes time and we still got a ways to go.
All right, guys, I want to take a brief break here from one of our sponsors. And when I come back, we're going to talk about the last 18 months, what happened, and then also what's going on today and tomorrow for Project Haystack. So we'll be right back. All right, guys, I can already tell the time's going too fast. So let's talk about the last 18 months. Did Haystack go into neutral? Did it go into reverse? Or did you plod forward?
Yeah. Mark, why don't you talk about the conference?
Well, I think, you know, we continue to go forward because one of the key value propositions is the fact that it's open source and open community. And the community did not stop. We continue to drive. And this past May, we held our fifth conference, every other year conference called Haystack Connect. And we had over 800 people attend virtually. And so we were, you know, it was the heartbeat was still pumping as hard as ever, as they say.
Yeah.
And I was going to say, we've also produced twice a year a magazine, if you will, called Haystack Connection. And we produced another issue of that. And just a plug, if anybody wants resources on Haystack, go to the haystack.org website and you'll find lots and lots of resources for you.
Yeah. I want to comment on the conference and your question about what happened. You know, I think you meant due to COVID. We were quite worried. You know, this has always been an in-person event with great energy and people have a lot of fun there. We're big on the fun side. And of course, it wasn't going to be able to happen in person. So we were worried. An odd bit of serendipity, we had dramatically higher attendance, 850 people. And a number of the comments we got were, we're really glad you did it virtually this year because my company won't let, they won't fly me, right? I can't attend in person, right? Which gets at some of the things you talked about. This is hidden technology, hidden, you know, the engineers aren't in the C-suite, so they're not getting the flight out to San Diego the last time we did it. And it actually, I think, had an odd way of actually benefiting the whole community. But one of the big things that was done was the release of Haystack 4 after 2 years of working and collaborating with other standards organizations to embrace, again, input and critique from you know, the world of people trying to solve this problem.
Well, you know, you bring up a good point about keeping the ball moving during the pandemic and needing to go virtual. I heard so many complaints about online events, and you know, we did our first hybrid event in November in Denver, then we did one in LA. We just got back from Austin. I hear that loud and clear, John. That engineer who can't come to the conference because he's never going to get it, or she's never going to get into the budget. If we lose that message from the pandemic, it's lost. We plan on offering hybrid opportunities and experiences. We're going back. We're going to have fun in Phoenix, but guess what? We're not going to forget about those people back at the office because such great knowledge, such great experience we learned during the pandemic. We should not just throw that out, and we have to stay connected with those people. All right. So, where are you today? Who are the members? What I think I just heard the version of standards you're on. You know, what accomplishments? Give the viewers a little understanding of where Haystack is today.
All right, well, I think we got the view of the members coming up, but let me comment on some of the technical side. And Mark, I know, likes to stay on the more of the business and market impact side. But technically, the release of Haystack 4 was huge. In addition, again, one of the things that happens with this open source community, they don't just work on the standard. They develop software applications. So we had a major new open source initiative announced there called Haxel, which is ready to go code to make Haystack-based products. Right. Mm. There'd been numerous reference implementations over the years. There's tools that are developed by people and they're contributed as open source. And in fact, one of the things we do is we do our version of Shark Tank, if you will, which is called Pitch Fest, where people with new products, whether they're in development or released, come and pitch their idea to the community. And that's an exciting part of the event. But again, it shows this is a real community behind solving this problem.
Keyword community.
Yeah.
Yeah. Keyword. Mark, a little bit about your members.
And well, first of all, you know, as we've said, it's global. And I think that speaks volumes into itself for people who are interested and who have accepted Haystack as a standard for data, so forth and so on. It's, you know, head up by a group of founding members. You can see those, the top layer here on the graphic depicted. And then by a group of really innovative companies who see the value of data and utilizing Haystack tags and modeling for their particular offerings. So, you know, we're very happy that the membership continues to grow. And, you know, it's fully supported by lots of different groups within the industry.
And one comment on the members. Look at all the competitors' logos you see there. This is a collective problem for industry. We have to work together to solve that. And those logos show that we are. The competitors are there solving this because it helps everybody.
Well, I think the point is a rising tide carries all boats.
Absolutely.
Right? And smart competitors realize that my competitor is really not my competitor. My competitor is non-adoption and people aren't paying attention. And the more awareness we can get on this issue, the better it is for everybody.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I've been a standards wonk for my entire career. And, you know, people say, Jim, it's not sexy. I go, well, nothing sexy happens until you get the standards in place. Period. End of discussion. All right. So the logical question is, what's next for Haystack?
You know, I would say more tools and open source contributions. But here's the other thing. We have working groups who are working on different equipment system types. We're really excited to have Daikin, one of the world leaders in variable refrigeration, join the organization and launch a working group to build out the tagging model with the community around VRF systems, which is, you know, internationally is very, very strong. It's not the biggest part of the HVAC market in the US, but internationally, it might even be bigger than central systems. So you see that type of stuff, people coming together. But you mentioned a good thing. The other real estate standards, OSCR, BIM, right? Outreach we're doing and need to continue to do, you're absolutely right, to meld and integrate those standards so that there's at least what we call cross-mapping and interoperability.
Yep. Mark, any thoughts on where you see Haystack going next?
Yeah, I see it more adoption. I'm starting to see it in RFIs and RFPs being as part of the solution. Yeah, an owner operator or consultant is putting in there. And again, looking at it, as John said, he's the technical guy, I'm sort of the business marketing guy, is if kind of look at some of the value within respect from the business perspective concerning data, during looking at Haystack, think of data governance. Think of being able to ensure the trustworthiness of that data. Look at being able to make that data uniformity. Helps define and enables choice. All of that stuff is the unsung hero, in my opinion, in addition to the great development efforts that goes on with the open source community.
Right. So we only got a couple minutes. John, what's your plea, your request, your advice to the community as it relates to Haystack?
Thanks for the opportunity to do it. I'll stay with the plea. The plea is we need to work together on this. Again, I make the analogy of where would we be if there wasn't one HTML standard, if there were five of them, if we had to pre-coordinate to view each other's websites. There's other standards out there. We need to work together. There'll never be one. I don't think that's the point. But the point is working together to minimize duplication of effort and to make sure that all of these things interoperate. We've been active and very aggressive in inviting people in. One of the things we did almost 3 years ago now was and was announced in the press, working with ASHRAE, BACnet Group, to collaborate and hopefully come out with one standard on how data is going to be marked up and tagged to define its semantic meaning.
One of our viewers liked my comment that nothing sexy happens until the data standards are in place.
We may have a new tagline. I agree. This is great. I love it.
Yeah.
Nothing sexy happy.
Good one.
Happens until the data standards are in place.
Good one.
I think we're going to go with it. Mark, final thoughts.
Again, the importance of data and being able to maximize its value. Standards are, in my opinion, a key to that. And obviously, as John said, we are one of those standards, and we all need to work together to enhance the value of data that we all want.
Right. Well, guys, as always, the time goes way too quick. We could talk hours on this topic, but a special thank you, not just from me or RealCom, but from the industry. Without the two of you on many fronts, the smart building industry, the contemporary modern smart building industry would not be where it's at without the work of the two of you. You have relentlessly, tirelessly, selflessly given your time, energy, and efforts to this industry. And I, for one, and on behalf of RealCom, want to say thank you for everything you've done, and the best to both of you as we continue the journey.
All right.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Okay. You have a great day, and we'll be back. All right, so with our end of conversation on data standards, we grabbed the tagline today, I think. Let's hear from our final sponsor before I wrap the show and talk about next week. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, Art.
All right.
We may switch things up here a little bit.
Thank you to our production team, Nancy, for catching my error. Howard, that was not done intentionally, as you know.
I know that.
So with that faux pas, I'm going to introduce the news, and then we'll wrap the show.
Hey, thanks, Jim. And I want to thank John and Mark, two of my favorite people. What a great conversation on Project Haystack. So every week, we highlight a couple of stories from our weekly news briefing, released every Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific. And this week, we're spotlighting a conversation we recently had with a couple of very special folks from GSA, the U.S. Government General Services Administration. Now, for those of you who don't know, GSA is the largest public real estate organization in the U.S. They manage over 8,800 assets with over 370 million square feet rentable workspace. And over the past decade, they have developed a world-class smart buildings program where they leverage technology to improve performance, reduce energy, enhance occupant experience, well-being, increase productivity, manage risk from climate change, public health, and a cybersecurity perspective. And the vision, the sheer scale, the organizational alignment, staffing, planning, execution, ongoing monitoring, management, and continuous improvement components of this project would be staggering for any Fortune 100 private company, even a large tech company. And this was accomplished by the US government. So a couple of Fridays ago on this show, we were honored to have a conversation with Chip Pierpont, GSA's Director of Innovation, Technology, and Performance, along with Anna Ross and Smart Buildings Program Manager, on the strategy and how they successfully rolled out GSA Link, which is the smart building technology platform, to this massive portfolio. So this week, as our lead story, we recap that live stream session. We include a link to the full 30-minute recording in this week's lead article, so don't miss it. Next, three regional smart city cooperatives in Arizona and Texas, they decided to get together and form a multi-state cooperative effort to promote technology and development. It was the North Texas Innovation Alliance, the Connective, which is actually Greater Phoenix area, and the Southern Arizona Smart Region. They're putting their heads together to explore innovation solutions and revenue models. Now, they want to collaborate and take a very holistic view on how a smart region can encompass the use of data, technology, and community to improve quality of life, inclusive economic development, and resource efficiency. Now, a lot of local governments are now struggling to adapt to evolving resident expectations. They're dealing with budget shortfalls, aging infrastructure, and keeping up with all the emerging technologies that could potentially help improve service delivery. Now, this type of regional cooperation may be a new way for local leaders to stay on top of trends, hopefully find new ways to partner with the private sector. I think it's an interesting approach, and we'll keep an eye on this. Finally, Qualcomm. They've been busy figuring out how to deliver millimeter wave 5G for high bandwidth applications, but it hasn't been easy. It's still a pretty bumpy road. But the good news is that earlier this week, they demoed a prototype technology called OTA, over the air, that just blasted through bandwidth-hungry mobile virtual and augmented reality applications. And the way they did it is they employed repeaters to overcome the distance limitations of millimeter wave 5G. And now they're testing three new types of these repeaters that may be a low-cost way to solve the problem of signal loss over distance. This is great news for 5G deployment, and it's really moving the needle forward for millimeter wave in the US. So with that, I'm unfortunately out of time. That's it for me today, but there's a lot more in the weekly briefing. Check it out, and I'll see you all next week.
Howard, three great
July.
Three great stories. I mean, wireless, big part of our conversation going forward. GSA, a giant making big moves, setting the pace. And then, of course, states, you know, communities getting together on this smart building, smart city innovation initiatives, all great news. And thank you for bringing them to our attention this week.
My pleasure. Enjoy the weekend. Happy 4th.
Happy 4th. All right. So before we wrap, let's take hear a word from our final sponsor. I'm going to come back and tell you what's up for next week. All right. Again, thank you to John and Mark for all their hard work and their sharing their time with us today, talking about Project Haystack, to our sponsors, Howard for the news, and Nansen production team for making this happen. So next week, crazy, exciting conversation with Mark Ganzi, the CEO of Digital Bridge, formerly Colony Capital. Mark is an innovator like the real estate industry has not seen in a long time. He is at the tip of the spear when it comes to understanding the mix of real estate and technology, digital transformation. He's got his foot to the pedal, and he is moving at a pace this industry hasn't seen, and is going to be, I think, setting some standards for the commercial real estate industry to follow. So next week, Mark Ganzi, CEO of Digital Bridge, going to be a great conversation. Make sure you tune in. And with that, I say goodbye. And again, have a great 4th of July weekend. Be well.